And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to The Green Room.
Welcome, everyone, to In the Green Room. I'm Kinga.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Chet. How's it going, guys?
I am more than excited. I've never been this excited to be here with seven animals from the zoo.
The Phoenix Zoo.
The Phoenix Zoo. Can you say hello?
Hi.
And introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kim from the Phoenix Zoo.
Kim is holding a little ferret right now, and his name is Big Whack.
Yes, his name is Big Whack, and he is a wiggle worm this morning. Yeah, he got some energy out at the zoo.
Can
already.
We hold him, or is he like a little
Yeah, he's going to be a wiggle worm right now. I think just let him do his thing for a moment. Yeah.
He's just so cute.
Like, he's super cute, isn't he?
Wiggle worm is an understatement.
Yeah.
He's like, I want
to
run.
Am I allowed to touch him?
Yeah, you can touch him.
Okay, do they bite?
Well, anything with a mouth can bite, right?
Just don't be jittery, just be nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cute. It's soft.
He's very soft, isn't he?
Okay, so where's he from?
So he is a domesticated ferret. So you're going to find these guys as pets. A lot of people do like to have ferrets as pets. I do not recommend it. They are very stinky animals. A lot of people don't realize they're a part of the mustelid family. So they, if you get a big whiff, he has a really unique odor to him, right?
Can you guys smell him?
Yeah. So
I can't smell him from here, but I always know whenever I'm in Petco,
I can always tell
where the ferrets are.
Right? Like, you smell them from like a mile away. Yeah. So being in the mustelid family, all of those creatures in the mustelid family, like badgers, otters, they all have a very potent odor to them. Skunks actually used to be in that family, but they've actually recategorize them, and they're in their own different family now.
She's zooming in on them. What's his name?
Big Whack.
How does he get that name?
Big Whack?
He came with that name. We actually got him from a ferret rescue. So he came with that name.
Oh.
Yep. We've got three other ferrets at the zoo. We've got Barry, Otis, and Miles.
Sounds like a gangster name.
It does Big a little bit, right?
Big Whack.
Yeah. Otis. So I didn't get to introduce today. We also have Karen in the studio, and she's going to be co-hosting with us. Could you say hello?
Hey, Karen. Welcome. Karen.
Hello, everybody. This is Karen Dorfline. Excited to be here. Thank you so much for the welcome this morning. Excited.
And why do I feel like you are one of the most sustainable people I know? Can you tell everybody? Tell the world?
We grew up recycling in New Jersey everything. And we actually moved with our kids to Bali, Indonesia, for them to go to the Green School and learn more about sustainability, entrepreneurship, and we've got to save this planet together.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And we can talk about it later, but Karen and her husband, Mark, also are developing eco-friendly homes and developments, correct?
We're working on more sustainable developments, doing agriscaping, which is edible landscaping, more energy efficiency, and looking to take some communities off the grid in the near future.
Wow.
And the reason why this is so important is because if we're going to protect our wildlife and our animals, we have to have less pollution, and we have to really clean up the planet and do everything we can so these animals don't go extinct, right?
It's actually really interesting that you were just talking about what you and your husband do for a living, because the black-footed ferret, which is a cousin of this domesticated ferret, we do have them wild here in the northern parts of Arizona, but they actually went through a really, really tough time. The black-footed ferret was actually almost considered extinct out in the wild. And that is because of habitat loss. And actually because one of their main sources of food, which is the black-tailed prairie dog, was being basically just decimated, because the black-tailed prairie dogs are kind of considered as a nuisance for farmers and those who have big lots of land, and they're trying to have a ranch for cattle, or they are trying to farm. The black-tailed prairie dogs will actually dig up that land. They'll get into crops and everything. So they were decimating the black-tailed prairie dogs, but in turn, that was affecting the black-footed ferret populations as well.
So how do we minimize their impact? What was what was the change that occurred? So now we're saving them?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the Phoenix Zoo has a black-footed ferret conservation program in place. We have in our conservation center at the zoo, we have black-footed ferrets that our conservation staff work with every single day. Some of them are released a couple of times a year. So we actually work with them to release them.
Wow, that's amazing.
And, yeah,
all
the
Phoenix
the
Zoo does for conservation.
Yeah,
wow.
It's incredible.
And that's really important for people to realize that this Phoenix Zoo is not any regular zoo. Because
no.
How many zoos are out there that don't help protect and the wildlife conservation?
Well, you know, there are a lot of zoos. Usually when you're looking at an AZA institution like the Phoenix Zoo, so we're accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, you're going to have a zoo that donates a significant portion of their, you know, everything that they bring in, their profit, to conservation. And a lot of them do have different conservation programs. So just like the Phoenix Zoo, we have the conservation program for the black-footed ferrets. We actually just started some for an owl species. So we have different conservation programs going at the zoo. I know the Los Angeles...
Was that
the
owl you had here last time?
No, not the spectacled owl. Okay. No. the Los Angeles Zoo did an incredible amount of work helping to bring back California condors from the brink of extinction.
I love condors.
So, yeah, they're amazing.
Oh, those
they're
are
awesome
beautiful.
Creatures.
Remember
yep.
from the San Diego Zoo?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't those the largest birds in the
they
world?
They are. Yeah. Yeah, they're very large
they're massive,
birds. Not the
yeah.
largest
beautiful.
Birds, because, I mean, the ostrich takes the cake
oh,
on
well,
that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The largest flying bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Flying bird.
Yep.
Yeah, an ostrich doesn't fly, Chet.
I know that. It's kind of obvious.
They run really fast. That
would, it would literally be like a pterodactyl if it could fly.
It would be terrifying
yeah,
if ostrich
yeah,
could fly.
That would
yeah.
be not good news.
But that is so important. You know, some people say, oh, I don't like going to zoos because they're caged up. But the Phoenix Zoo has really large enclosures.
We have
enclosures.
Very large enclosures.
You really
yes.
do. They're
yeah,
very large.
Yeah, very natural enclosures. Mm-hmm. And that's another component of being accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. We have strict standards that we're held to with our enclosures, the size based on the species. You know, there's so much that goes into it. We're held to very, very high standards at the zoo, at Phoenix Zoo.
And that's so important.
If I remember correctly, I think I remember Linda telling us that there was only about 200 accredited zoos in the United States.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's just a handful of
but
them.
But there's, I'm sure, thousands of zoos.
Here we go,
so
Linda's coming over.
Friends, if you're going to a zoo, make sure you're going to one of those accredited zoos.
Check
if you're
out.
Not in Phoenix.
How many
yeah.
accredited
definitely
zoos
comes
are there, Linda?
One.
There's about 235 that are accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. So you always want to look for that logo, that AZA logo. Yeah. And then you know that, like Kim was saying, that we're held to strict high standards. We have to go through accreditation every 5 years.
Okay.
And it's not even just, you know, the animal enclosures. It's everything about the food and the keepers and then how much education we do. How much conservation
probably
we do.
Probably the training.
They even go through the yeah. marketing offices and talk about what are your marketing practices that you do. So it affects every department at the zoo.
Wow. Yeah, it's incredible. These animals eat way better than I do. I'm telling you. Like, I'm not kidding.
You're
their
like, this
diets
is not fair.
Are incredible. Yeah, we have a staff that they all have a nutrition background, and they are so knowledgeable in making the animal diets. I mean, you just ask them, like, oh, why are we feeding this food to the ferret? And they'll be like, well, the caloric intake and the fat content and this and that, and they just know everything about
what
it.
What do ferrets eat?
Well, they actually, the domestic ferrets like this eat ferret chow. Oh. It looks just like some kitty food, some cat food, but it's specially formulated for ferrets, so it has all the healthy vitamins and minerals and nutrients that they need to help keep them nice and healthy and help keep their teeth healthy.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh, this little guy.
What
is
animal
so
are
cute.
We gonna bring out next?
You know, I haven't decided yet, but I can go get another.
Okay, can we see Incognito next?
We can see Incognito.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so
yeah.
excited to see the chameleon.
All right.
Yes.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, I'll get him out next.
Yeah,
I'll
for our new
out.
Listeners, Incognito's the chameleon that you guys brought.
So Linda, you oh, never yes. introduced yourself. You're from the Phoenix Zoo, and tell everybody what you're.
Well, to all of our past listeners, we have had Linda on before, so welcome back.
Thank you.
We love having you guys
Thank you.
Come and show us the animals and just hear about all the great that the Phoenix Zoo is doing, not just for the animals in the zoo, but for animals all over the world through their conservation programs.
So in between our animals, I think, are there six or seven of them?
I think we have six today.
We have six today. In between, we have a gentleman here to play some music for us. He's from, can he say hello real quickly?
Michael, introduce yourself.
And tell us where
Welcome,
you're from.
Michael.
I'm Michael Rodriguez. Hello, everyone.
And where are you from, and how long have you been writing music?
And
I'm actually here from Phoenix, so and today I'll be playing a couple of originals and some Christmas tunes.
So the Phoenix Woo-hoo. Conservatory, is that where you're from? Is that the school you've been trained at?
For 4 years now. Actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So. And you write all your own music?
No, actually, I do some arrangements.
Okay.
But being a classical pianist, I do have to perform with.
Oh
some
yeah,
classical.
You have to play the classic.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
well, it's kind of part of the job, I'd say.
What are you gonna play?
Well, where can we find you? On social media or on like Spotify?
Not Spotify yet, but okay. I do have my YouTube channel up.
Oh, wonderful.
Rodriguez. It has a couple of my originals, like Love You Forever, which I will be playing in a little bit.
Yes.
And some others that I just perform on a regular basis, like what I practice on a daily basis.
Sweet. Well, we'd love to hear a quick song.
One last time, what's the YouTube channel?
Because we've got, I think we have a chameleon right next to my face.
Michael Rodriguez, Love You Forever.
Okay, look, sweet. Thank you. And we'll be hearing from you in a second, but first we're meeting incognito.
So should we introduced him now. I think we should go to the animal, and then when we do the next switch out, just start playing.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, does that work? Okay.
Yeah.
So in between animals, Michael's going to be playing. So pay attention to this wonderful pianist. We'll be hearing from Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll
Michael.
Be smooth okay. about it. I'll just be like, awesome. Michael, take it away.
And now this is quite amazing. Okay. Neon green, amazing chameleon in the studio. This is so cool.
He's super cool, isn't he?
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So his name, as we've already said, is Incognito, which is super awesome for a chameleon's name, right?
Oh yeah.
We like to get creative with the names at the zoo when we actually get to name them. Big Whack, like I said, came with that name.
Do you name these animals?
We named him Incognito.
So does everyone come up with an idea and then you take a vote?
That's usually what we do. Yeah.
Okay.
We like with our ambassador animals, a bunch of us will work with the animal and then we are like, oh, I feel like he's kind of like this or I feel like he's kind of like that. And then we all kind of put a name in and we decide. Usually our boss decides and is like, this is the final.
Linda decides.
No, my boss decides. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I just wanted to touch and I think you're giving me the no.
Yeah. He's a little bit more of a sensitive animal. So chameleons are known for their color changing ability, right? And
oh, yes.
they are also known to be a little bit moodier of an animal.
Mom,
so.
Don't get close to it. Don't get close to it. You're going to freak it out.
Yeah. So he's
they
being really
like
calm
that.
Right now,
yeah.
Just kind of observing all the lights and everything. But they're not an animal that really likes to be touched very much. You know,
yeah.
they it's just well, not their
thing. A little aside, my boyfriend has wanted a chameleon for so long, and we were researching them, and I was like, don't get one. I know they, depending on the species, some like can bond more with humans than others.
Yeah.
But some I know you almost can't handle or can't touch at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very sensitive and delicate and like you kind of have to just
let
them be.
Yeah, and unfortunately what happens with some of those more sensitive species, thankfully he's not that sensitive. You know, we just don't touch him very much. But with those more sensitive species, what happens is it increases that stress level on them. And then that can be very detrimental to them when you have a stressed out animal constantly, you know, from having...
What? Oh, sorry.
No, you're totally
fine. I wasn't
trying
to interrupt you. What species of chameleon is he?
He is a Mellor's chameleon.
Okay.
So they're actually really interesting because they are the largest species of chameleon found on the mainland. So about almost half of the chameleons in the world are found on Madagascar, which is really cool. But
I want to go to Madagascar.
The largest city, I know, right?
Let's
Me too.
Go.
So bad. Bucket list for sure.
So if you're in Madagascar and you capture one of these, can you take them home?
You may not. No, okay. That is very illegal.
Definitely not.
I don't know. So they are endangered.
The Mellor's chameleon is not endangered, and they're actually not from Madagascar. They're mainland. They're native to Africa. So they're the largest mainland species. The largest species of chameleon in the world is actually native to Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
And there are, unfortunately, on Madagascar, there are several species. I think I read about 37% of the species of chameleon in the world are endangered at this time. And unfortunately, it's because of habitat loss. Because in Madagascar, they're doing, I believe the term they were using when I was reading on it was called flash fires. So it's something that they're doing for their crops, or I'm not sure exactly what it was for, but that's affecting the chameleons because the chameleons in general out in the wild don't have a really big territory. So mm-hmm. when you just burn this, even like a square mile,
well,
I mean, how many animals are you wiping out in that
exactly.
square mile?
And
you know?
Madagascar itself is already
it's
kind
not,
of a small,
yeah, exactly
small geographic area. And I'm sure the entire island isn't fully suitable for all the chameleon
exactly.
species.
Exactly. Yeah, so, and there like are so many. I mean, some of them are desert species. Some of them have to be in the like rainforest area. So they're very diverse, but unfortunately, they do get affected quite easily from habitat loss and
I have a question. So Rachel and I were in St. John and St. Thomas, and they had they weren't chameleons.
They were iguanas.
Oh, like, iguanas are super cool.
And there were a plethora of them. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Are those similar in
I mean, they're not
are
in
they
the
linked?
Same family, but they're I mean, they're lizards. But yeah, chameleons are in their own separate family of lizards. Yeah,
can they be found anywhere but Africa and Madagascar? I know
there are like some feral ones in Hawaii, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are feral ones in Florida now
like
too.
Ones
but
that have been brought over there and then escaped and have kind of
but it's mainly Africa.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. Mainly Africa and Madagascar is where you're going to find most species. Okay.
So nobody can own these as a pet?
They do have them as pets, but you just want to do your research when you're... I mean, that goes for really any animal. You just always want to do your research. Like I was saying with the ferret, they don't make the best pet because they're stinky and they're very active. But a pet like this, it's obviously a little bit more on the exotic
look
side.
He's opening up his... Like his fingers.
Yep, he's grabbing on because he wants to climb on the microphone right now. But
I'll do anything if I can hold him.
I cannot let you hold him. I'm sorry.
He's the cutest thing.
He's like,
oh my gosh.
He's
I'll
like
do
Velcro. Anything.
Yeah.
I wish there was a fly in here. So
I know it would be super cool. Their tongues are really impressive.
I have another weird question. Yeah. I've been wondering this whole time. How long can their tongue stretch out to
20 inches for a Miller's chameleon?
Oh my god.
Super impressive, right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, really?
Super impressive. And then you know
somebody needs to start attracting flies.
I know, right?
Somebody being stinky.
Open up the doors and let all the flies in here. So another thing that I found really, really interesting in doing research about chameleons when we got him and I did a lot of research. Really interesting thing about chameleons, they do the color changing. Everybody is aware of that fact, but they actually have their own pattern and own color code per species. So if we had, say, a Jackson's chameleon in here or a panther chameleon in here, that panther chameleon would not understand the color code that he's displaying right now. So they
like
can only understand
like displaying like I'm angry. The other one, if
wouldn't
another
necessarily
one of the
understand
same species
it.
Species would understand, but
would not understand.
But if it's of the same
of the same species, yeah,
but a different one would have no clue.
Exactly.
That's
yep.
So cool.
Yeah. So it's really they all have like within their own species, they have their own language, and then they do. A lot of people think they color change to camouflage. That's actually not so much the case. It's more mood-based, to be completely honest. I mean, they will use it for camouflage occasionally, but it's really more mood-based. Like, if he's really dark, then I know he's a little bit on the crabby side.
Oh,
yeah. Or it could be because he's a little bit cooler and he's trying to get warmed up. You know, they're ectotherms. So
but
they
then
rely.
He's probably still like, oh, I want to get warm.
Okay, so
and he's crabby.
I have a question. We have,
it's chilly.
We have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Karen's daughter here in studio, and she is not in school right now because she came to see these animals, and she was in Bali for 3 years, and I just want to know what kind of lizards she was able to hold or see.
She probably
or play
saw
with.
Some really cool stuff.
Can you come to the mic real quickly and talk? Say hello.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Adriana Dorfline, and in Bali, we saw a lot of green iguanas. A lot of green iguanas.
That's so cool. I love iguanas.
My friend had a pet chameleon.
I'm jealous. I want one.
What kind was
so
it?
So she was lucky enough to leave the States and live in Bali for years, and she saw all these wild animals. And I just want to hear what she saw. And your dad was being chased in the water?
My dad, for Father's Day, we let him go to see Komodo dragons. And he jumped out of our boat and went to feed them.
That is brave.
And she has a video that we are going to post.
That's super brave. Komodo dragons can be very aggressive.
They're crazy. And I know their mouth is not, they're not necessarily venomous, but their mouth has
so much bacteria.
Gross bacteria that they're basically toxic.
No, they're actually worse than a venomous animal because there's no anti-venom for bacteria.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty funny video that we want to post of your dad. What happened to your dad? And then just finish off the story so the world can hear how funny your dad is.
He was feeding them. So he went almost to the shoreline. Well, he was at the shoreline and, then a Komodo dragon got in the water when he started to back up. and started chasing him in the water.
Oh my gosh.
Then right before, right when he got in the boat, the Komodo dragon swam away.
And this is all on video, and we will
post
this.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
That is truly incredible.
Chime in and ask a question, you're here.
Your dad's super brave, by the way.
I was going to say, they're
a lot braver than I am.
They're scary enough behind glass. Me and Ryan, my boyfriend, were just at the San Diego Zoo.
Uh-huh.
And every time we go, the Komodo dragon's sound asleep, like in his little cave. And this time he was up running around his cage, and they're really fast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they're a lot faster than you would think they would be for a really large lizard, basically, you know? But
they kind of have that little shimmy.
Yeah,
funny.
He's
Can
now that he's
a picture of me with that.
Now that he's all mobile on your hand, does that mean he's hungry or?
No, he actually got fed before I left. He's just checking stuff out. He's actually really happy right now. I can tell because of his coloration. He's light. See all those beautiful light green.
He looks
colors.
Like a happy little guy.
Yeah, he's a happy guy.
He seems like he's exploring. Like he's. He used to be on the branch, and now he's just like, I'm just going to freestyle.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, do you see him eyeing the microphone right now?
Yeah.
He wants to get on there, but we're so not. That'll take forever to get him off.
That would be a great picture, though.
Oh, my gosh.
we're interviewing you now, incognito.
You guys
let's
will get to see
you.
No other animals, because I'll be in here trying to get him off the microphone the entire
this
time.
This is the coolest thing. This is my new home. I'm never leaving. Look at his eyes. Look at the eyeballs.
Are you pointing straight at his eye? He's not going to like that.
That's... I know.
All right.
I love looking at his eyes. Just move independently.
Super cool,
going
right?
In another direction.
We better switch to the next
animal. Yeah, I'll go switch
animal,
out.
We only
quite
have
a few.
25 minutes left.
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's cue Michael.
Michael, take it away.
Take it away.
From the Phoenix Conservatory. He writes his own music, and we're about to hear him play. right, we are back with the zoo.
That song was beautiful.
Linda, what is our next animal?
A few more.
This is a tawny frog mouth. This is one of my favorites. Kim, do you need help with your headphones?
A tawny frog mouth is what it's called?
Yeah.
A tawny frog mouth. What an interesting bird.
That was beautiful, Michael, by the way.
It was gorgeous, yeah.
I love his music.
My sister's a musician, so I have a good appreciation for your music. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Can I pet this?
No, she doesn't really. You know, birds in general are just like touch me nots. They don't really like to be touched that much. Well,
the feathers are just gorgeous.
I know. Good for camouflage, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Her name is Sydney. They're native to Australia, so that's how she gets that name, why we named her Sydney. I know, like I said, we got to be creative with the names. They get their name Tawny Frogmouth because they do have a really wide mouth. I'm going to see if she'll open up that mouth for you guys. Oh, she's going to make noises at me instead. But they have a really, really wide mouth that looks just like a frog's mouth. And if you've ever seen a frog, you know that they have really big mouths, really huge mouths.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how they get that name. Now, their coloration is really important for them because it helps them to camouflage, but it also helps them to catch their food. They're called an ambush predator. So what they'll do is they will live up in the trees. They'll sit up in the trees. And obviously, other animals, insects are not going to see her very well because she's going to camouflage in with the bark of that tree. But then they'll open up their mouth, and the inside of their mouth is a beautiful, almost like a banana peel yellow. And so that attracts insects near that mouth.
Cool.
And then you see these cool little feathers up here.
Oh, how cute. Yep. Oh,
that makes her
so
snap
cute.
That beak shut. Yep. So they leave that mouth open. And when they feel those insects touching those feathers, they know to snap that beak shut and they get a nice big mouthful of the juicy bugs.
Ooh. Yeah.
How old is she?
How interesting.
She is, oh my gosh, she's. I'm doing my math. I'm not good at math, everybody. So
okay.
She is 25 years old.
Oh,
wow.
How long do they normally live
in captivity
or in the wild?
In captivity, they can live into their early 30s. So she's a little bit more of a geriatric tawny frog mouth.
Uh-huh.
But and in the wild, unfortunately, it's a little bit less, you know, just because of
predators,
all the things that happen in the wild. Yep, predators, human habitat loss.
There.
Yep.
She keeps looking at me.
Yeah, you do have some bright colors on you right now, so she might be attracted to that. There are a lot of things.
Maybe she thinks I'm a leopard.
Right?
Is she captured on your hand? Like, if I get closer, can she hop off?
She could, yeah. She is not attached to any equipment. So you remember when I brought the owl last time? The owl had all the traditional falconry equipment on to keep him on my glove. She does not have any of that equipment. And a lot of people think that she is an owl when they see her at first, bird of prey. They are not even related to birds of prey at all. They're actually in the more like the songbird family. So they're related to like nightjars and whippoorwills that we have here in the
US. I think she likes me. She's just staring at me.
Yeah.
Look at that. Her eyeballs are just right on my...
We got
eye.
I was lots surprised. Of fun lights.
I'm so happy we got to see the inside of her mouth. That's
Linda?
Weird,
super
but it was
cool, right?
Like bright yellow.
Linda's so quiet. Do you have anything to say, Linda?
No, I just love looking at her. She's beautiful.
Linda
she's
loves beautiful. Sydney. Yeah.
We do a lot of media things together, and I just think she's adorable. So I just love to take her in.
I don't know if I was late coming back in after the music, but what species was she?
Tawny frogmouth.
Okay,
yep,
cool.
Tawny frogmouth. Yep. How do we spell that?
T-A-W-N-Y and then frog mouth.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. T-A-W-N-Y. Y.
Yep.
Frog mouth. So it sounds like we need you to write our description for our Facebook Live.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have all this correct information. Before we leave, let's make sure we edit that. And,
okay.
And that
yeah. So we get the correct
on.
Species down.
And
right?
I don't want to rush us with the next animal, but
I know
how many more do we
time.
Have?
We're only halfway through, so I can go get another one. Yeah.
I want her to just, can she just stay right here?
Oh, no, because you know what? I have some bugs here. And she might go after the bugs.
Sure,
yeah. We don't want her eating any of the bugs. Yeah.
All right. Well, we love her.
She's
Sydney.
Awesome, right?
I want Sydney to come back next time.
Okay.
I love her. She's so sweet. And her little, is that a tail?
Yeah. Yep.
She's,
tail feathers.
It's like she's wagging her tail.
Yeah. She's balancing.
I was
going to
say,
job.
It seems like she's kind of like,
so you see,
Rock
a little bit unstable.
I'm trying to hold her steady, but.
Well, while we're switching out animals, let's hear from Rock and Robin. She's funny.
Let's say hello. Hey, Robin.
Do you have anything good to say? Something funny?
Well, no, I was just admiring that bird. I've never seen a bird quite like that before, and I'm a bird person. So I love birds of prey, and I've been a parrot person since I can remember. I've always raised birds. So
is that your favorite animal so far today?
Well, get excited. We have a sulfur.
No, I'm sorry. Incognito stole
me too.
The show,
oh, my
dude.
God.
He's pretty awesome.
Incognito, I wanted him to go on the mic ever. So bad.
But Robin, you're going to be excited. There's a sulfur-crested cockatoo.
That's what I heard.
Too.
Yeah, and I love cockatoos, but they're big babies. You know that, right?
I don't know. See, I'm excited to hear from you maybe about like the differentiation between different birds. I don't know very much about them.
I've raised birds since I was a teenager, so that's kind of been my little thing with parrots and stuff like that. And I've had quite a few birds through the years, and I had one that was very close to me for several years. She was my little baby. She kept me company through my divorce, and it's weird. They do act like dogs. They really do. I used to call mine a flying dog.
What happened to it? Where is
That's
it?
So cute.
She actually was a species that was from Africa. So she is akin to the African gray. She was a Senegal parrot. And
oh,
she
so
actually
is she really intelligent?
Very intelligent. She was supposed to live for 30 years, but unfortunately she came down with the bird version of AIDS. And it attacks them mentally. So they have a neurological thing when that happens and they can't fly. They get sick, they start losing weight, and eventually I had to put her down because it was the best thing for her to do, because we couldn't keep her healthy. Yeah. But, she got me through some really tough times, and I have her footprints on my shoulder because that's where she used to sit. And I swear to God, it was like a little dog.
Well, this is supposed to be our Christmas show,
I'm saying, so I want to get you a bird for Christmas.
Okay, when? Sounds like you need one.
Because when you lose an animal, there's one thing about that you have to realize, that when you're not ready for another one, you can't impose one on somebody, because that they have to work through the grief of losing a pet. If it's a dog, cat, bird, whatever, you have to give yourself time to get through it. And
yes.
And a holiday pet is not a good idea, because you feel guilty accepting a holiday pet. And then you see a lot of like the Easter animals
get set free
or go up for adoption somewhere. And then a lot of them will end up in the zoos.
Exactly.
Or they turn them loose, like the turtles. They turn them loose at the turtle pond in the zoo.
You're better off going to the zoo and contributing to conservation by buying a ticket.
Right. So no, don't buy me a bird.
Then just buying one.
Okay, I won't buy you a bird.
I'll just live off of these animals vicariously.
And also, birds have so much personality. You would have to get a bird that you mesh with. You can't just get a random bird.
Yeah. Wait, now what is this?
You
said that people dump off their pets at the zoo. We actually have a rabbit that we've had for about a year now. Her name is Truffle. She is the cutest, most beautiful little rabbit, and we found her on zoo grounds. So somebody probably dumped her because it was an unwanted pet, and we found her about a month after Easter last year. So yep.
So okay, so we have to get to the next animal that we have right here. Yeah. Is that a walking stick?
This is a walking stick. This is a giant thorny walking stick. She is not the coolest thing, right? Like
Okay, now
super good at camouflaging.
She just blends right into the leaves.
These are native to Malaysia. They actually are also called a jungle nymph as well.
Yeah. Do we get to hold this?
No, she's just going to sit there on that. Because they get the nickname thorny walking stick. Look at those legs there.
They eat a lot of insects in Southeast Asia. Are they food there?
I don't know if people eat them. I'm not 100% sure if people eat them, but these ones actually eat leaves. These guys eat leaves, so they don't eat a lot of insects, but I don't know if the people eat these insects or not. I'm not sure.
So are they in danger?
I was going to say, it's like a toothpick.
They are not. No, but I brought this insect to talk about bees, because I don't know if any of you have ever heard, but there are some species of bee, like the bumblebee, that has been put on the endangered species list.
We didn't know that, but we need to talk about that.
Yeah, because of pesticides and the different, I was trying to read up on it and get myself more knowledgeable about the bumblebees and the plight of the bumblebees, right? But the pesticide use that a lot of people have bees at their house, and they're like, oh, their go-to is just get rid of them, kill them.
Oh, yes.
The best thing to do when you have a situation like that is find a reputable beekeeper.
I was going to say, quick aside, we've actually had a beekeeper on the show in the past.
Derek Shields was on the show.
He will, if you have bees, call him first. He will take care of them. and keep them alive rather than just exterminating
them. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing. Yeah.
We should have them on the show next time with you.
Bees. That would be cool.
Yes.
Bees are so incredibly important because they're pollinators.
They're the foundation of the whole ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was reading about it, and you know, they're saying if these bees start to go extinct, it will actually affect our food crops.
So we have to remind the world here. We have to refuse. We have to refuse. We have to reduce. Yeah. We have to reuse. We have to recycle. Because some people think, oh, we just need to recycle.
There's so much more to it.
Can you tell us the things we need to do to help these animals not... We don't want them to be on the endangered list.
Yeah.
We want to keep them off the list.
There are so many simple things. I mean, right now, the plastic straw movement is going strong. You know, get rid of those plastic straws. Get, you know, if you want to get like the biodegradable ones. I know I have a metal straw that I choose to use. One of my coworkers actually has a really cool collapsible metal straw that she carries around in her purse. So
no single
really simple
plastic bags.
Yeah. Don't use plastic bags. You know, try to
ride your bike in an electric car.
Yep, exactly. There are so many things. Take your cell phone and recycle that. Turn it into a recycling.
That's
center.
A good tip. Yep. These people don't remember that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't throw those cell phones away. Just don't let them sit in a drawer. Recycle them because that'll help.
E-waste can actually be.
So, how many more animals do we have now
for the landfill?
We've got two more.
Okay,
so switch out.
I would love for you to switch out.
What's
that?
You know, this one doesn't have a name. You guys want to name it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Stick.
I like Stick. Okay, Stick.
Stick. Okay.
You can bring Stick back
too.
He's cute.
Okay.
He's so cute. So we are saving the planet.
One show at a time. You ready, Michael's? Michael's about to play another song real fast. Michael, tell us what you're going to play real fast.
And thank you to our sponsor, Goodwill. Goodwill is...
This Christmas by Donna Hathaway.
This Christmas.
This Christmas. What is this?
This is a vinegaroon. Super
cool
insects, right?
That is so cool.
Yeah.
This is so cool. What is that?
Is
that a cockroach?
No, not a cockroach. They are actually related to spiders. They're an arachnid.
Oh my gosh.
What is that?
It's ginormous.
Okay, this is just so weird. What is that little pointy poke thing on his butt for?
The pointy thing is his tail.
Oh.
And they get their name vinegaroon. Because at the base of that tail, they are able to spray a substance. It's actually an acid that smells like vinegar. And that's one of their defenses to help keep predators away from them. Because vinegar has kind of a really potent smell to it, you know. And then it is acidic, so it can burn a little bit as well.
Ooh. Wow. Okay, so that's
is
like
it venomous?
No, they're not venomous.
It's a defense mechanism, not an attack mechanism, though.
Yeah, defense mechanism. Yep.
So
and
what
they
do
they
eat?
They actually will eat other insects.
Oh, so he is still an attacker.
Yeah, so if you look those on that front there, he actually does have pinchers, kind of like a scorpion does.
Yep. He has huge pinchers.
They'll use
that
to help catch their prey.
Okay, for those of you that are so listening to us on the radio, we want you to go onto our Facebook, which is inthegreenroom.com.
Yeah, you have to see
this. I mean, these are just incredible.
Super interesting, right?
So interesting.
What region of the world are they native to?
We actually have them in the Southwest. There, a lot of vinegaroons are found in Texas, but we do have them in the Southwest. I've never actually seen one here, but... Yeah, super cool, huh?
Okay, so how come it's not biting you?
It's ground right now. So
why attack the ground that you're standing on, right?
So have you ever been bit before?
I have never been bit by one of our vinegarones.
Okay.
No.
And if you are bit by one, does it hurt?
Yeah, it's going to pinch a little bit, but it's not venomous, so I don't have anything to worry about. It's not like a scorpion.
So it's like an ant biting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
just kind of more bothersome.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So what is our, what does it eat?
They eat insects, so they're really good for insect control to have around.
But I mean,
just smaller, like crickets. We actually feed them crickets at the zoo.
Oh, so okay. That's what I was curious.
Kind of things that we would find a little bit more on the pesty side, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to get to your
name. Wait, what's his name? We might be able to name another animal.
Go ahead and name him. He doesn't have a name.
Let's name him Chet.
Chet. I think Chet's
no.
Chet.
Definitely. What?
Christina, should we name him Chet?
No. That's so weird for me.
Well, what do you think?
Chet the vinegaroon.
Yeah, I like
good.
It. I like it.
We should name him Balsamic.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Balsamic.
That's super cute.
That's Balsamic-y.
Get it? Because vinegar? No. Okay.
Okay.
I get
love it.
It.
That's good. Okay, so remember.
Name him Chet?
As we're switching. As we're switching out animals, we have to talk about the Goodwill. Because Goodwill has been our largest, biggest sponsor. And everyone should shop at the Goodwill. Why,
not
Rachel?
Only the largest, but the biggest sponsor.
And the best.
Goodwill the best. Is just so sustainable from top to bottom, the way they run their whole operation. And then
one thing that our listeners might not know, of course you can shop there and donate clothes to be sold there, but only a small portion of the items that are donated actually get sold back in the stores. They're amazing at recycling. And
they recycle everything, even your old mattress.
Yes,
if you have one shoe, they'll still take one shoe. They take clothes with rips and
they take
stains
a lot of materials that not even the recycling companies, such as Waste Management, can accept. So if you have something that you're going to throw in the trash or
oh my gosh, look
anymore,
at this huge bird!
Send it to Goodwill.
Anyway, shop at Goodwill. Shop at Goodwill. And Onyx Spa is our other sponsor. Please, through the holidays, if you need a gift card.
Onyx Spa is your best bet.
It's on Scottsdale and Thunderbird.
Endless relaxation.
Sounds
and
nice.
Look at
relaxing.
This.
Oh, yes. And we're back to Kim.
It's my treat. I'm going to take you and Linda to the spa.
Oh, okay. Nice and relaxing.
Yeah, my treat. Okay, perfect. All right.
So we have Lulu, our sulfur crested cockatoo here. She's a greater sulfur crested cockatoo. And they get the name greater because they are the bigger of the sulfur crested cockatoos. There's also a lesser sulfur crested cockatoo, which, as you might be able to guess, is a little bit smaller than these guys.
Oh, yes.
And then they have this beautiful sulfur-colored crest that they stand up on the top of their head.
And
for our listeners, just to make sure, that's sulfur, in like super, super bright yellow, not silver like I thought originally.
Yeah.
But the yellow is very striking.
Yeah, it's beautiful, huh? And then she has the sulfur blush on as
she
well.
She is really a gorgeous
there.
Bird. Oh. Look at that. She's gorgeous. Rockin' Robin,
so
that's what you
cute.
Need.
Okay, now Robin,
trying to be a pet matchmaker over here.
Yeah, Robin, I like that you said that. Do you have parrots at home, or you just really like that you have had them?
Her whole life she's had birds.
Okay, and I'm glad that you're saying that you don't want one at home because they don't make good pets. A lot of people see parrots in a pet store. Oh, there are so many different reasons, but you know, they're really messy. They end up at rescues usually most of the time. So they're really messy. They're really loud. They have the mentality of like a 2 to 3 year old child, a species like this does. So they're really smart. You know, they can learn a lot of different things. They can mimic. She does say hi, Lulu, occasionally, which is fun. It's enticing to have as a pet.
Talk?
She'll just do it on her own accord as I'm talking. But they have a really long lifespan. They live to be 60 to 80 years old. So I always tell everybody, if you want a parrot as a pet, a parrot like this, imagine having a 2-year-old in your home for 60 to 80 years, and you're going to change your mind immediately.
Absolutely
especially
not.
Every parent. Yeah. No.
Because normally
not.
When you have a 2-year-old, it's just for like 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, exactly. No,
or
they
1 year. I think that's how time works.
Rachel,
not totally
true. We're good 2 year olds.
We're in that activity range.
You guys are good 2 year olds, though. I don't know.
They
that could
they
be a good pet.
Never grow out of it. So it's like having a 2 year old for 60 to 80 years.
Wow.
Not an easy undertaking by any means. And they're
so
super
what does she
noisy.
Eat?
They like to eat nuts and seeds, so they're really healthy eaters. Yep, and they'll eat some fruits and veggies as well. But that's why they've got the big beak to help break through nutshells. Yep.
So is
and
she
bite fingers that get in front
what
of their
part
face.
Of the what part of the world would
bye
you
bye finger?
They're native to Australia.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she's not one to pet then.
She lets me touch her, but we've got a good relationship. We've been working together for a couple of years.
I can tell
years.
The way she's looking
parrots
at me.
Parrots can be a little finicky, you know, out in the wild they pair bond with each other. So when you have them with people and they're not around, if they're not with another parrot, sometimes they will bond to the parrot. We work really hard with our parrot collection, our ambassador collection, like her, to make sure they don't bond to just one person. But at the same point, we realize that they do have that natural instinct. Mm-hmm. So we don't require them to work with a tremendous amount of people. We only ask that they work for about 5 or 6 people.
I think you're amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you're so knowledgeable. You're so beautiful. And I can tell that these animals love you.
Thank you. That's very nice.
You have an amazing job. You and Linda, I'm jealous.
I love my job so much. I love it. Yeah.
I love my job, awesome. But I want to join you guys too.
We can tell. I think, Kinga, you could just be one of the zoo animals.
Well, yeah. How often did I take you guys to the zoo as kids?
We would seriously go like weekly.
Well,
seriously.
It's 10:59. We got to wrap it up. Robin's
giving us
the...
Well, we are saving the planet.
One show at a time. Don't forget to go to the Phoenix Zoo and support their conservation.
Really each and every night, 5:30 to 10:30, all the way through Sunday, January 13th. Go online to phoenixzoo.org.
And how can they donate, too, for the zoo?
Phoenixzoo.org. We have a donation button right there on the website.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.